Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy to have our guest on the line with us. We thank him for being flexible today. He's on at 2 o'clock instead of 1. He is the host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt joins us. Kyle, John Murphy, and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thrilled to be on, and I can't go any further without commenting on this. We know that there has been a development in the Hall of Fame, and I wish I could have spoken about this earlier, but I'm thrilled to speak with you. As you know, I'm talking, of course, about Mr. John Murphy going into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which I'm thrilled about. Murphy, I don't know what Steve has done in his life. I'm not familiar with his work. But you, my friend, are the Hall of Famer. Not a semifinalist, an actual Hall of Famer.
That's why he's our favorite.
You're right kidding. You heard the update. You know the news. Steve is a semifinalist.
I know the news. You went in September. I heard you give a great speech. No, listen. Here's my thoughts about Steve. And Steve, I've always respected as a player and broadcaster, and now you're very modest about this. But my take is and has always been, with respect to guys like Bill Bates, Matthew Slater, who's still doing it, You are the best special teams player I've ever seen. And I mean that. I grew up watching you. I watched you through high school and college. And my take on the Hall of Fame is, whether you are a quarterback or a long snapper, if you are the best to ever do it, you are in. Now, that applies to certainly Ray Guy, certainly Adam Vinatieri. I've always been very strong in the fact that I think Devin Hester is a Hall of Famer because he's bar none the best return man I've ever seen. And that would apply to you. All jokes aside, very thrilled to hear your semifinalists again. It's exactly where you should be. If I had a vote, I don't. I would vote for you, Steve.
Well, I appreciate it. It's nice, and thanks for the kind words. And we'll
of course.
Yeah, it's not gonna change. In fact, I was just you heard me, and my family is tweeting me, making sure the dogs have been fed today, and you know all that. So they're making, because we just got back from a trip, you know, that we took out of town over the weekend. So we're making no crickets on my phone. So. It's right where I need to be.
If the call comes to go to Canton, I know that you'll have a very long future on this program, or you'll move to Barbados 2 seconds after you become a Hall of Famer. And I hope you stay.
There you go. Now you're talking my language. Look, we saw you. Listen, we catch you every. You're like regular. You guys are regular viewing. Good Morning Football is the best show on TV. Yeah. It's a staple for anybody who's a big NFL fan. You guys have a lot of energy. You do a lot of stuff. One thing I was shocked to see, though, you lost a bet and you wore Keenan Allen's jersey this morning. You got to wear it all week.
Yeah, all right, let me get into this because it's only Tuesday and it's already killing me. Back in the offseason, you might remember that the Chiefs added Frank Clark and they added a couple pieces. Keenan Allen, the very good L.A. Chargers receiver, had this comment about, well, I see their DB room and I'm not too worried about it. I went on TV and said, really, Keenan, I think the Chiefs are kind of a punching bag. I'm going to stick up for their defense. You've only scored one touchdown ever in your career against the Chiefs, so you don't have much to talk. Keenan Allen did not appreciate that. He expressed himself on Twitter really aggressively. And I said, I'll tell you this way. You guys play the Chiefs way, way in November in Mexico. Keenan, if you score a touchdown against the Chiefs, which you really never do, I will wear your jersey for an entire show. No, for an entire week on Good Morning Football. Of course, he scores like a 3-yard touchdown in Mexico and at the end of a loss. The second the game's over, Keenan Allen is tweeting me, guys, after a loss in another country, tweeting me saying, don't write checks for bleak can't cash. You better do it. So you are talking to me now in a week in which I'm wearing a powder blue Chargers jersey all show, every show, on a holiday week and in a week in which the Chargers aren't really relevant. So if I sound like I'm annoyed about it, I am, because the thing already stinks and it's only 2 days in.
We're with Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, the host of Good Morning Football. Let's get you talking about the Buffalo Bills and this week's game, Kyle. I heard you say this week that this is the game. You were asked if Sunday's Bills win over Denver was a statement. Was it a statement with that win? And you say no, but this week could be. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Murph, the Bills got their tuxedos all pressed. They're going to get their hair done. They get their nails done. This is the 2019 Buffalo Bills coming out party. We've talked about this a lot, but I talk about it in the morning as well. I'm of the humble opinion, I don't think there has been an 8-3 team in history that has been viewed less than this Bills team. No primetime games, not even a late window 4 o'clock kickoff. It's only been 1 o'clock Sunday games against, let's be honest, a lot of teams that don't jump off the marquee. I think people all around the country have not seen the Bills. I think they know a few of them from their fantasy teams, maybe two or three of them. But on Thursday, it's national, baby. And it's not just national. It's as big as it gets. Jerry World on Thanksgiving against a very beatable Dallas Cowboys team that right now the coach and the owner are about to be in a slap fight. So I'm thrilled to be on the Buffalo Bills show right now, because I think in 2 days they're going to be on a lot of shows, because I think this is the one. It's coming out time.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett have been a little bit at odds. Jerry came out and, you know, kind of laid it at the feet of the coaches the way they played in New England in a 40-degree rainstorm.
Yeah.
If the Bills were to go in there and win this game in Dallas, do you think Jason might not survive the weekend?
He shouldn't. And that's hard for me to say. Let me personalize this for a second. Jason Garrett and I went to the same college. We played for the same football program. We were in the same club in college. We run in a lot of the same circles in the alumni circles. I have every reason to be an apologist for Jason Garrett. I just can't do it. How could I possibly do that? It seems to me that when you have a 12-4 talent and you're looking to be a 9-7 team, you have to stop and say, what's going on here? I look at the Cowboys. They have really fancy, expensive ingredients, expensive wide receivers, running back, pass rushers. They got this star quarterback. The ingredients are great, and the food is crappy. And you, after a while, you have to start saying, should we look at the chef? I know he's been in the family for a while, and he's Jerry's son and Steven's brother, and he's a good guy who's respected. The result is not there. And people have said this for years. Why could this year be different? A couple of reasons. One, Jerry's been writing some huge checks this year, more than ever. The pass rusher, the linebacker, the running back, the quarterback check as yet to come. So he is a businessman above all. And when he's spending that kind of money, not getting the results, guys, it just feels like he's buying this very expensive piece of technology and the thing doesn't damn work and he wants to return it. This is a different year for the Cowboys. And I don't think they'll fire Jason Garrett midseason, Steve. I just don't think he has it in him. You may see an assistant fired. You may see even a coordinator somehow. But I think they'll ride or die, and I think it's a mistake.
Kyle, you and Jason Garrett in one of those snooty eating clubs at Princeton, is that what you've just admitted to us?
It's so snooty, Murph. You know the exact term for it, the eating clubs. Yeah. We were both a member of what's called the Cottage Club in Prince University, which is incredibly pretentious and snooty, yes. But he was in the same club I was. And so we're like, I can't tell you the secret handshake or anything like that, but we're de facto brothers. And here I am on One Bills Live saying he should probably be fired. That's so amazing. I won't be involved in the club anymore.
We drummed out of the eating club.
Well, I gotta ask you. Yeah. The Bills got to 8-3, and they beat, you know, 2 weeks ago was the Dolphins, and they kind of thumped them. They beat this Denver Bronco team, who had the number 4 defense in the league, beat them by 17 points, and it really was never in doubt. They rushed for 244 yards. I mean, Murph and I've been talking. We talk about it every day. The Bills, yep, certainly a soft schedule, no question about it. But they have grown, and they're a much different football team now than they were at the beginning of the year. Josh Allen is playing differently now. If they get a weak opponent, It's over early, and I think it spells pretty good things, even though it is a really tough schedule coming down the stretch.
It's funny, Steve. I can tell it's a tedious topic for you. It's a tedious topic for me, this idea that the Bills are 8-3 if they haven't played anyone. And I can also tell you it's tedious for the players themselves. We've had a couple of Buffalo Bills on Good Morning Football lately. We had John Smokey Brown today, right, and we, sure enough, asked him the same question. John, you're 8-3, but, you know, you beat the Redskins and the Broncos and the Dolphins. What do you say to this concept that you guys are what I like to call fake good? And they all say the same thing. You can tell they don't like the question. And they all say, listen, we play who's on the schedule, the cliche. And I think to your point, Steve, I think the greatest case study in this is the two times that they played the Dolphins. And the first time they played the Dolphins, it was dicey. They were down. It was not pretty early. And we're like, well, that didn't look so good. Second time they do them, it's not a competitive game. So thank God we have, if not a great team, at least the one that gets a lot of attention, and the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Thursday, because I'm sick of the whole they haven't beaten anybody either.
We're with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network. He is the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. I saw the John Brown segment this morning, Kyle, and I saw you dancing, right? You were kind of mimicking his touchdown dance. Is that what that was?
All right, so let me put it this way. John Brown is all business, all right? He's not there to go into anecdotes or to tell you. He's there to say, we're here to win and I'm here to work. So you guys know this. You'll get into an interview.
We had him here yesterday.
I don't know, the fifth or sixth minute. Yeah, and you got to pull out the circus act. Yeah. So sure enough, we pull up the peanut butter jelly dance or whatever the heck he calls it. And John Brown on the point said, well, let's see you do it. So listen, I'm 40. I'm not in the best shape of all time. The pants are a little bit tight. And I'm suddenly in somewhere dance-off with Smokey Brown and looking like an imbecile. But anything to save the segment. I promise I will work on it. I think John was openly laughing at me, and I'll always do anything for a laugh on the show. So I'm glad you are impressed, Murph. I'd like to see you do that.
You're a show business professional. I'm not, clearly. I wouldn't have to do that.
That's sure true. I am.
One of the things that also happened this last week, and we've been talking about this too, is Frank Gore passing Barry Sanders. And you know, Frank, there's always people who will criticize him because he's played for so long. Of course, his numbers are going to be good. And I just told Murph this last segment, one of the great numbers about Frank Gore's career is 16 years playing running back. That in and of itself is a Hall of Fame accomplishment. Forget about this 15,200 yards that he's got. That really is something to think about when you watch these games up close. What a brutal way to make a living for 16 years.
It's amazing. And it's not just running back. It's a term that gets lost these days, which is feature back. I mean, we were focused so much now on the end of Frank Gore's career. Let's not forget the beginning. The guy with knee problems at Miami. The guy who was an afterthought around guys like Edgerrin James, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee. I mean, he was kind of the also-ran. There's like, oh, and Frank Gore is really good. Not a first-round pick. Not a second-round pick. Knee problems, red flags throughout his whole approach to the draft. And then I say feature back because, I mean, there was a time, and there's still a few, but there was a time that position, you'd have guys who pass blocked, who run blocked, who caught, who threw if they need to, who ran, like who don't come off the field, who don't do the, well, you know, it's 3rd and 9, I'll go off the field so I can have the receiving running back. You know, Frank Gore has a niche role now. But for years and years, he would do everything. And I've always respected it. And it's interesting because when you hear the aggregator word or whatnot, it's like people seem to be speaking against him because he's played so long. I mean, him and Adrian Peterson have just come from different cores completely. I've never seen something like it. And you saw him on the other day. He's not struggling through the hole and just racking up a few charity numbers. He's still moving chains, have burst. It's awesome. I mean, it's really cool. I just think like, I know this is the era of judgment, and you can bring up the greatest thing in the world, and everybody hates it. If you don't like Frank Gore and you don't respect everything he's done, you don't like yourself. I mean, he's an awesome – he's like a football saint for me. I absolutely love him.
Kyle, I'll tell you, who likes him is the Bills' really number one running back now, Devin Singletary, who will credit Frank Gore as having a major impact on the Singletary's emergence now. He is the Bills' primary offensive threat now, I believe.
It's a godsend. I mean, it's a godsend for him. Singletary looks like he's got a burst. He looks flashy. He looks fast. I mean, the stats against the Broncos were fantastic. I know it was the best of his career. And then every day he gets to sit next to a guy who's one of the greatest to ever do it, a guy who's had more yards than Barry Sanders. The future's really, really bright. If he can step his game up, get bigger, get stronger, I love what Singletary does. And I always feel like, you know, throughout the season, there's been a little more like, man, I wish we had more Singletary. He was banged up a little bit. I wish he could be featured more. Maybe that's not such a bad thing that he hasn't ran up this huge carry total through September, through October, because as we know, they're going to be in January and they're going to see somebody. It could be, who knows? It could be New England, Houston, Kansas City. It could be Baltimore. And they're going to need someone who is fresh, who is ready to have 20 touches in a playoff game. And that could be the guy.
All right, now I got a question to ask you about this Dallas game. So say you're a really pretty good player, and or maybe you're just a carpenter, and you build this really nice house, and you're really productive, and the house turns out awesome, and it looks fantastic. But then your boss, the general contractor, comes up and hands the keys to the owner. They give him all the credit, and they ship you off somewhere. So Cole Beasley's going back to Dallas. and he's gonna play against his old team. But put yourself in his shoes.
Listen, Steve, you might only be a semifinalist right now, but you are a Hall of Famer of analogies. First ballot. first ballot guy, all right? I actually, the last time you brought up an analogy was something about your aunt who visits for the holidays and wants to kiss you on the lips. I love it. And I also love the DIY thing. Listen, Cole Beasley, I remember the rap on him. Nice little receiver, deceptively fast. You know, he's a product of the Zeke running game. Take him out of Dallas without the star in his helmet and Dak Prescott and whatnot. I don't know if he'll make plays. He looks pretty good to me. He looks like he's peaking at the exact right time. And I know Cole Beasley is a guy who's really motivated, who might run a little hot, who's prone to dropping rhymes. He may have a few rhymes about the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and he should. Because I just saw Amari Cooper, as good as he is, get shut out, completely shut out in the Dallas Cowboys' last game against the Patriots. So I'm looking for Cole Beasley to have a huge game. Between him and Singletary, they're kind of the running back receiver version of themselves, undersized guys with chip on their shoulder, run fast. I like it, and I hope he goes off.
Kyle Brandt with us from NFL Network. Just looking ahead a little bit after the Bills are finished in Dallas, they get Baltimore here. Baltimore's got to play the 49ers in what should be a pretty big game this week. Are the Ravens going to be spent by the time they get to Buffalo December 8th?
It's a good question. You know, we brought it up this morning. The Ravens are just lights out. They're unconscious. Nobody can even keep up with them. But you see it year in, year out about peaking at the right time. The question is 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, the Ravens still going to have this much juice? It's tough to say no. Here's the thing. We could talk about them all day, and we could say, how do you stop these guys? They have gone against Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Romeo Crennel, Wade Phillips, some of the Hall of Fame guys, great defensive minds. And in those four games, Lamar Jackson has 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions. He's playing flawless, flawless football. The only thing I can come up with, the only way to really stop him maybe, is if you had a D-line of just absolute four Wolverines who could absolutely kill you. And maybe the Niners have that. Maybe their D-line is that good. But any question you could answer me right now, the answer is Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying anybody's stopping him because I saw Aaron Donald, who's the best player in football, and he was a distant afterthought on his home field last night against Lamar. So I like Baltimore against San Francisco right now. I like Baltimore against anybody right now.
Yeah, could this game between the Ravens and the 49ers be a preview of the Super Bowl? It certainly looks that way now. I mean, these two teams are on a collision course, and this is going to be a fun game to watch this weekend.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is your regular season Super Bowl. It certainly could be a preview, but there's a ton of questions to be answered. And I think that, you know, I look at, nobody knows better than Buffalo, but I look at Bill Belichick right now, and I think one of the great challenges of this era of his career is, can he stop Lamar the second time around? Can they come up with a game plan to do it? Because there's not much to challenge Bill Belichick anymore. How many Super Bowls he's been through? How many has won? The challenge is the greatest athlete to ever play quarterback, it appears right now, Lamar Jackson, coming in again and getting a second shot of him. So as much as I would love a San Francisco-Baltimore rematch, really, in the Super Bowl, I think I would love to see it. New England, too. I'd love to see a lot of teams. There's still a lot of questions to be answered. Let's not crown Baltimore yet. I still think there's New England is the thing.
See if the Bills answer some questions on Thanksgiving Day. You have said on the show the other day, Kyle, that the Bills will make a statement on Thursday. Some of your partners on Good Morning Football weren't ready to go that far. But you think this – are you predicting a Buffalo victory in Dallas?
I'm not predicting it, Steve. I'm guaranteeing it. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. And never mind my partners on Good Morning Football. And let me assure you, as much as I love my two brothers and my sister, they have seen 5 seconds of Buffalo Bills football all year. They're off doing the primetime games and the more prestigious teams, and they're all much bigger than me, those guys. Believe me, they're like, what, the Bills? Oh, they still play football in Western New York? I'm telling you, they will do it. Except for Kay. Kay knows the Bills. But I do think the Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're a better team. I don't know if they have a better roster. I don't really care. I think the Bills will beat the Cowboys on Thursday, and the Bills will be a much, much bigger deal in this country on Friday.
I got to ask you something, too. Something that jumped off the page. You go down and you check the scores, you know, on your phone, your apps, and one of the scores that jumped off the page to me was the Jets beat the Raiders 34-3. What's going on with those two teams?
That was wild. I mean, that was a shocking game. And it was just, I don't know, Steve, it's something about me. It's the nostalgist. It's the NFL 100. I really want the Raiders to be good. Like, I am unapologetically root for them just because I think they're one of three or four teams where you can say the NFL is better when they're good. I like their character. I like that they're sort of a villain. And I spent all of last week saying they got it. They got the momentum. They have this young team with John Gruden working and the Jets, blah, blah, blah. They didn't even get on the plane. That was one of the worst no-shows I've ever seen against the team. You know, fine, they're picking up, but they're still the Jets. They're still down in the dumps, and they did not show up. I think that was a great day for the Kansas City Chiefs because of what the AFC West looks like now. And listen, everybody sat there and laughed hysterically at Sam Darnold because, well, we did the mono, and then there's the ghost, and now the guy has the gall to come out and say, we still think we can make the playoffs. The math says that they won't, but everything on the field right now says that they're here playing ball and they have this thing figured out. It's actually really cool what's going on in New York because everybody in Manhattan just wants to hate them and just wants to make fun of them and do Photoshops and memes. They're playing good football, and Adam Gase and Darnold have it going on. So, shocking output, but I was actually proud of the Jets.
Kyle, thanks for this. Thanks for your guarantee of a Buffalo victory Thursday, and thanks for your Hall of Fame wishes for both of us, seriously.
For both of you guys, two Hall of Famers, a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to know both of you gentlemen. We'll talk next week after the Bills blow the doors off the Cowboys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kyle.
Right,
thanks,
Kyle.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.